Hi guys and girls, I've got with me Mark Earle, who is one of the owners of Buxton's The Group, also a shareholder in two of the offices, Sandringham and Brighton, okay, and also apart from being an agent that has worked through the group and has written over $1 million in commission when he has been in full-time sales, today he has the role of leader, mentor, coach to people at the whole group.
Correct.
So firstly, welcome and thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I've got to say, as I walked in, he is wearing what apparently in magazines last week was the hottest colour in suits, and he has told me that he bought this suit 1 year ago, so he is ahead of the pack, always have first move advantage, and he's doing it in suits.
As I said, well, at least I've got some bragging rights over something. So, no, very happy. Bought it 12 months ago in Florence, but I'd love to fly there every 12 months to get the latest in fashion. But, yeah, trying to look my part.
Okay, so what we're going to hopefully do is give you stuff that's going to allow you to go to Europe once a year out of selling lots of real estate. Can I ask, Mark, firstly, how long have you been in the business?
At the end of this year, it'll be 20 years.
20 years. In those 20 years, if you were meeting yourself 20 years ago, knowing what you know today, you've been a principal, you're a franchisor, a trainer, a great real estate agent, you've worked in all parts of the business. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give Mark Earle 20 years ago about real estate?
I never planned to get into real estate. In fact, like a lot of people I've come across in my time, I sort of fell into the business. And didn't realise what a fabulous opportunity or industry that we're all lucky enough if we are part of it to be in. There's no corporate ladder, there's no politics. You either list the properties and survive. You determine how much effort you put in. And in most cases, that effort will come back to you in spades. And it's a very simple business. Do the right thing by people. Have some structures in place and disciplines. And as time goes forwards, it just multiplies and manifests. And it's incredible. And again, you would have heard some top performers over the last however many years you've been doing this for, Tom. But it is not rocket science. But I suppose if I was giving myself advice, it all comes down to your database and building it from 1 to 5 to 50 to 100 to 1,000 to a couple of $1,000 of people on your database.
Yeah.
And then, of course, finding a way to keep in touch with them in a constructive way that means that you are their reference point from a property and from a real estate point of view.
Okay, so a very valid point. On the one hand, you make it sound very simplistic, which is get to know people, have a good stay-in-touch strategy, become their agent before they need an agent, and then they list with you. If it's that easy, Mark, explain why most people in real estate do struggle. You don't see, overall, even though the opportunity is incredible, most of the real estate agents across Australia would be struggling to earn over $100,000 a year. Why is that the case?
Look, I think, you know, salespeople by nature are generally not disciplined. We look for the shortest path possible to try and get to an outcome. And it's amazing how many people within the business these days are hunting for new leads and forget to look after the people that they've actually built some sort of a connection and relationship with. And it's an ongoing problem. I haven't found the solution for it, other than the nature of salespeople tends to be someone that is, or I've found, constantly, as I said before, hunting for new business. So the other side to it as well is, you know, most people give up just before they've succeeded. So, you know, when I'm talking about people or giving advice to people about getting into real estate, I always say that there's a two-year timeline that you need to invest very, very heavily in terms of time, effort, blood, sweat and tears before you'll get a return in this business. I said, if you're looking for a return during that time, quite frankly, you'll probably get paid more money stacking shelves at Safeway. But if you can do all of the right things, you're a good quality person, you get to that two-year mark, you'll all of a sudden get that phone call you weren't expecting about somebody that's ready to sell. And you probably won't be in competition because you've built a relationship with that person. And that'll manifest and lead into another few leads that you pick up and you nurture and you continue that sort of building of your database and so forth. But most people just don't have that patience, don't have that long-term view. And I think as a society, it's very much, you know, I want things now. You know, people want that certain guarantee and that certainty of income up front. And very few people can tolerate with the commitments that they have in this world a $28,000 base salary, because largely it is a commission-based business. And if you're good enough, you'll get it. But there's a time there, or time lag, before you will get paid a lot of money, which I think we're worth given the commitment we all put into this business if we're doing a good job of it.
Okay, well, that's very well summarised there. What you're saying is that hard work will pay off in the future, that you've got to be prepared to do things and not get money for it now, but the rewards down the track are a lot better if you go through this queue, this process, you do these things. Have you noticed some people do it better than others, and is that something that they're born with? Do you believe a good person is born with that quality, or do you think that you can be trained to be that person?
There's two elements, in my opinion, that are critical to the success of a salesperson, and it probably follows whether it's real estate or anything else. You know, one is that inherent ability to connect with people. Rapport is always going to be the foundation of people being successful from a sales point of view. But that, coupled with a business acumen and a plan, is essential if you're going to move forwards in this business.
Right.
And I find that a lot of salespeople have that ability to connect well, and that's why they've landed in sales. But often the business acumen, the disciplines required to have a long-term view of things and have goals and your business plans and your marketing plans, most people just can't continue to execute what's required.
Okay. On the connecting with people, is that something that you can learn, or you think that's natural?
It's a good question. I've got a chap in my office at the moment who has, I would consider, 9 out of the 10 traits required to be very successful in real estate sales. The 1 in 10 is probably lacks a natural ability to really connect with people. He's very, very business orientated. So we're going through a constant process with him to have that warmth, develop the highs and lows and the connections and the real sort of care factor for people. To let them know that, you know, he really is there for them.
Right.
So I'd like to think that it is something that you can learn to an extent, but you've still got to have the interest in people, I suppose, to have that desire to then make the change possible.
Okay. I want to talk about what you've learned about listing presentations. So there's two parts. Number one is getting them. Number two is once you're there to convert them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about what do you see are the activities that salespeople should do to get them more opportunities at listing presentations. What are some of the activities you see Buxton's people, when you were full-time in sales, what were the things that were getting you into the door more?
Mm. Look, it's still a very, very simple business, and things that were working 20 years ago, I still think work now. And there's different levels of prospecting depending on the cycle or the business cycle that you're in. And the most difficult level is level one. So you're going into the business brand new, and just about every component of your prospecting is going to be cold. So whether it's door knocking, whether it's doing letterbox drops, whether it's doing just listed, just sold, all of the calling ownership data, which is effectively your reverse directory calling. So all of your touch points are going to be very unrewarding, I suppose, because you might call 100 people and get one lead, one appraisal. So it's pretty daunting. As you move through to your next level, you're starting to get some leads and referrals. So you've got your own properties, and therefore you're actually dealing with people that want to deal with you because they're coming through and open for inspection, and you develop plans to keep in touch with them, etc. And then, of course, you move through to your next cycle, which is largely your referral-based business. So people, you then become an attraction agent. So people have seen your name, you've got the credibility, and it's amazing how much homework I think people do these days with watching who's attached. And this is where advertising is particularly important. And as you do particularly well, Tom, you know, advertising is not just about selling the brand, it's about your brand within the brand that you work for. And of course, those prospective vendors that are seeing your name attached to what might be perceived as particularly good properties. So that's sort of your cycle in terms of your prospecting. But in terms of what works, I mean, the new people in our office really do get down and dirty in terms of just doing the numbers. So they'll do the 10 by 10 by 20s, which is your door knocks of of each side of 10 properties and you're 20 over the road. They'll do all of your just listed, your just solds, all of your letterbox dropping, which none of them are rocket science, just to try and get a lead for somebody in the street. Some are working social media quite well. I haven't personally experienced a whole lot of success with that, but I know that's probably in its formative stage now to work out whether people are going to get a lot of lead generation through the social networking side of things. But I think it's just grinding and hard work. And of course, if you're lucky enough to be able to move, I'm a big advocate for living in the area that you work. And whilst it feels sometimes that you never leave work because of what we do, to become immersed in the local community is critical. Part of my way of immersing into the local community was young children going to the local schools, and of course by nature of just them meeting other friends, you're meeting their parents. So it's all sort of separate to being directly wanting a business. But if you're a good person and you're known, you're halfway there if they are considering sort of a property move. I'm into my cycling, so local cycling groups are something that I'm passionate about, and again leads through people that you know, because I've again moved to a completely different area to where I've been raised and grown up.
Okay, Mark has done as good as anyone that I've seen in explaining the actual funnel process of getting listing opportunities, and the fact that a lot of people want to become that attraction agent and have people calling them in without having gone through what you defined as level one, level two, level three. And what you're really saying is that it matters where you are in your life, that what you're doing. So someone that has just started can't expect to be sitting there getting vendors calling him in because he owns page one and page two of the search results and because he's got five full pages of properties. That person needs to do a certain activity. That activity is probably not comfortable activity. It's cold activity. It's cold. But there'll be a period where he won't know, or she won't have to do it any longer, and they'll go to level two. Mm-hmm. And I think that is absolutely essential to me, an incredible takeaway point. The fact is that hard work pays off in the future, laziness pays off now, and that there is this process that you go through before you become an agent that has people calling you. Mm. So we've talked about the opportunity of being able there to present. Mark, what about once you're at the house? What are some of the tips that you can give the viewers to improve your likability and improve your chances of being selected over the two or three other agents?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, as mentioned before, rapport is a critical element, and probably by nature I can come across in a more business-like fashion as opposed to being the gregarious sort of outgoing personality. So I need to be conscious of making sure that I do put the effort in to really connect and build that rapport with people. And I probably do it more so in relating their home back to them. So walking through the property, picking up different aspects of their home that aren't necessarily as obvious, and listening to what they've got to say about their home, and building sort of a connection and rapport that way. Explaining, trying to get a prospective vendor to understand the importance of the capability of the agent that they're about to employ. Most of what we all do is very, very similar. Every agent's got access to the same print mediums, advertising mediums, internet, etc. In fact, I'll usually explain the same person will probably buy their home regardless of whether they choose me or somebody else, providing the company's a high-profile company within the area. But what that person will pay will vary enormously depending on the individual's capability. Right. So it's that capability at the time, whether it's 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks down the track when I'm sitting possibly at our office discussing your home, who might be weighing up yours against 3 or 4 others, and talking about making an offer, my ability to be able to get as much as I possibly can from that person to make your sale as effective and successful as possible. So for me, it's them understanding the importance of giving, whether it's $1 million, whether it's $2 million, whether it was $500,000 of responsibility to somebody that they barely know, to make sure that they're capable of when it comes to negotiation to get the best possible outcome for them. And I think it's also critical to know that there is an infrastructure and a systems behind what you do as well, making sure that when you stand it open for inspections and you're taking names and numbers, that's it.
Yeah.
Or that's not it, I should say, that those people go into our database. We've then got 70 names attached to 15 Smith Street that we can directly contact as a starting point before you've spent a cent on advertising. Is good for a vendor to know that the business that they're looking at employing has got an infrastructure of capturing data, which is people's names and numbers that are interested in like properties.
Okay, again, big idea, golden moment. Two things I get out of that, Mark. Number one is that everyone's got websites, everyone's got print media, everyone's got everything, but the one USP you have over another person is that it's highly unlikely that two people are going to be equal negotiators. Mm. So you actually use negotiation as a USP, and that decision of agent selection can cost them a lot of money based on the ability of the agent to negotiate. Mm. The other thing that I got out of that was you dumb down the process in a simplistic way to actually show them the way that you work means that they will benefit because of getting names and a database, and you simplify it and make it easy for people to say, oh yes, that makes sense. So I think that is really, really valuable, guys and girls watching there. I want to talk to you a little bit about vendor management.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, whether you're in Melbourne, Sydney or Brisbane, most vendors believe their homes are a little bit better than the rest of the marketplace.
I've met one or two before.
Yeah. So can you tell me, what does great vendor management look for, Mark Earl and Buxton's? What is the message that you preach?
I think to start with, when you're going through the listing presentation, you tell the truth in terms of what you think the property's worth with evidence. And whilst there's a massive subjective component to any property's value, you never want to sit, you know, with a prospective vendor and limit what their capabilities of their home might achieve. But I think once you've listed
You give them hope, but realistic.
Correct. It's got to be delivered in a fairly balanced fashion. We always talk about logical price, then emotional price. You know, anyone can achieve a logical price. And what you're paying us to do is to try and create a level of competition that sees an X factor in your particular property, and this is the way that you go about it. Obviously, marketing is critical in terms of making sure we get as many people through that know about your home as possible. We've got 4 weeks, if we're talking about an auction, to brand your property in the marketplace. The next component, and really probably the most important discussion, is pricing it to the public. You know, how do we price your home so that when people are flicking through a newspaper, a magazine, or looking on the internet and they're comparing your home with countless others, how do we make it appealing? And obviously, whether your home is priced at a very high figure or a very low figure, the photographs are going to look exactly the same. At a very low figure, you're going to get inundated, or we're going to get inundated with inspections and inquiry. And at a very high figure, we're going to be very limited in terms of the opportunities that we can create. So we need to create an environment that is going to give you a possibility of competition. Now, in terms of my strategy, it's always at the point of having been given the business. So we call it set the sell.
Right.
So we'll spend as long as it takes, explaining the process and the importance about how we price the property to market, as discussed. I always talk about the three scenarios after the first two open for inspections. So your first scenario is going to be, we've got a lot of people through your property and a lot of interest, in which case the only discussion will be whether we tinker with a price in an upward fashion because we've got a plethora of interest. Your second scenario is we've got a lot of people coming through but very limited interest. And what that basically means is that your property is under-promising what people have seen in a print medium or whether it's on the internet. So they're looking at it visually and think, wow, this looks great. And we all know that these days photographs can be a bit deceiving in terms of spaces, etc. But they get to the property and it's maybe not quite what they thought it would be. So that is cause then for a possible adjustment with price downward, if anything, or we might need to be patient until we find the right buyer. But a competitive outcome is going to be unlikely. Your third scenario is very few people, no interest. And the only discussion we've got to have then is we've missed the market, so we need to correct before we've gone through a whole advertising campaign, and I'm sitting with you 2 days before auction to say it's a disaster, to then try and find a market. Because our job as your agent is to find you the best possible price the market will pay. And I can't tell you how many times we've taken over listings from other people and they've spent $10,000 or $15,000 on marketing or advertising, and they wouldn't even know what their property's worth because they've never received an offer. So I think our job first and foremost is to make sure we put you in a position where you've got a decision to make, And obviously, we hope that decision is a yes one. And the time to make any adjustments is as early as possible in the campaign so that we've still got time to find a new marketplace if necessary.
Okay, and you do that, Mark. You list it, and at the presentation, you use the term set the sell,
mm-hmm.
which is basically you have begun vendor education, preparing them for in 2 weeks a further conversation.
Correct.
To look at all those options.
And it's done without any market feedback. So it's, you know, this is how selling works. A lot of vendors might think, oh, well, you know, we're not in a hurry. We have a board. We can wait. And they don't, of course, realise the implications of waiting. I mean, the longer your home's on the market, once you go past that sort of 6 week period, your home becomes stale. You know, we as your agents, I mean, have you ever, another question I'll often ask prospective vendors, have you ever been to an open for inspection where there's been nobody there? You know, what do you think? And they think, well, why is there no interest? Exactly. It's not normally because of the property, it's because the property and the price point are not in alignment. So what you're in fact doing is helping to sell other homes around you. And if it does get to a negotiation, it's the pendulum's very strongly in favour of the buyer because they know that they're competing, or it's very likely that they're competing with anybody else. Conversely, if you've ever been to an open for inspection where it's frenetic, there's a lot of people looking around, even if it's a house full of neighbours, the assumption is there's interest. So from a psychological point of view, we've got the pendulum in our favour to be able to negotiate very favourably on your behalf because of the perceived or genuine interest. So they're sort of circumstances that I will take them through so that they've got a full understanding of how selling works. And if you can relay it back to them in fairly simplistic examples, like I've just given, often, you know, they're on board in terms of the advice and so forth.
Okay. Finally, you've been a long campaigner in real estate, 20 years. You're a person that...
Started when I was 10.
Started when you were 10. All right. That's why he wears these suits. He can get away with them. What I was going to say is you believe in print.
Yep. Wholeheartedly.
You're an attraction-type business. Why is it some people in your group are good at it? And it's not just your group, it's right across the industry. In the same office, you can have some people that can sell it and other people say it can't be done because these vendors want to just do internet only. What makes a good vendor paid agent? What is it?
I think it comes down to belief in the genuine benefits for the vendor. And also, I think fear is a big part of it. A lot of agents maybe see themselves less capable or they're less confident. And for them, it's all about just getting the signature and hence providing the right advice. And they're not doing it deliberately to give people wrong advice, but for fear of losing the listing because they might be talking about advertising figures that vendor might think are too expensive, they don't go down that path. So I think, and then of course it comes down to laziness. So if you do get the business, it's then going back to say, you know what, I've really had to think about this. We've got one chance over the next 4 weeks to get and brand your property as strongly as possible in the marketplace. I really do think we should be considering this, this, and this, and look at it as an investment into the promotion of their home. And ultimately, you know, from a vendor's point of view, they want to be able, or I want to be able to look a vendor in the eye in 4 weeks' time after the auction to say, you know what, we might not have got exactly where you wanted to be, but there's nothing more that you could have done. You've presented the home beautifully. You've marketed it exceptionally well, so we've got as many people through as possible. You've listened to my advice in terms of how we market from a pricing point of view. We've had 150 people through the property, and that's the decision the market's made, as opposed to, possibly we could have presented it a little better. We could have done some print advertising, or at least done a little further print advertising in terms of some bigger ads so that people recognise and it's noticed in the category that it should be noticed. Those sorts of things are not the questions you want to ask yourself, you know, at the end of a 4 or 5 week campaign, because you may well have compromised. You know, one extra person, two extra people into a situation we all know can add $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 quite comfortably under the right circumstances.
Beautiful. We talked about there about having belief. We talked about going back even after you've listed it and saying we've had a look at it and the photos look amazing and the marketing looks good, and giving them an opportunity to decide now, not in 4 weeks' time after you've lost the opportunity to create a good first impression to the marketplace. Mark, it's been fantastic having you here. If there's one single bit of advice that you can give to people as we finish off this conversation, And there's thousands of agents right around Australia that at the moment will be watching it, and they've been short of listings. It's been a challenging time in terms of stock levels. What's the advice that you give people in terms of staying positive and not giving in and staying on track from your 20 years experience?
This might sound a bit vague, but you know, I think there needs to be... I'm a fairly big visual person, and for me, you know, I always have this visual of loads of opportunities coming my way and my sales staff's way. So I'm a big believer in, you know, feeling that there's an abundance of listing opportunities in the marketplace. And I think if you're doing all of the right things behind that, then good things will happen. And I think it is that simple. But you've got to be patient with it. You can't expect, you know, particularly if you're new to the business, for it to happen in 6 weeks and 2 months and 6 months. But if you stick to the basics and you continue to do them, you're doing things with integrity, and you connect well with people, it really is a very, very simple business. And you'll have high months and you'll have low months. I mean, that's the nature of what we call real estate. But when you get to a stage whereby, you know, there's four things that we're paid for. It's prospecting, listing, negotiating, and selling. When you're not getting time to do all of those things, particularly the prospecting side very well, because stuff is being consumed with your week, you need to get support and assistance so that you can keep moving forwards and continue an upwards trajectory from a real estate point of view. But as I said, you know, if you didn't hate losing listings, you're in the wrong business. As I said, you take the highs, you take the lows. But when you look at it overall, in terms of the flexibility we have and no ceiling in terms of what we can do, it's a pretty exciting place to be.
Absolutely. Guys and girls, thank you so much. We've been with Mark Earl, 20 years in real estate. Work hard, work smart, get in early, and you'll be wearing a suit from Florence as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate your time. Cheers.